ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Deuteronomy 4:2. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. You know, well, that's the Old Testament. All right, New Testament. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now, some say, well, you know, that's just the book of Revelation. I don't think so. The words of prophecy really are from Genesis to Revelation. Don't add to it, don't take away. And if you still don't get it, God says in Psalm 138, verse 2, that he holds his name, his word, above his name. His name is the totality of all that he is. So if his word is not accurate, then his name is worthless, and you know, why worship him? But his word is perfect. We can trust in it. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. Wow. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. I didn't say that. God did. Okay? So if you're going against God's word, then you're a liar. Because God's word is pure. It's true. And the warning that Jesus gave us about the days we're living in. Think about this. He's warned us and we haven't been paying attention. Matthew 24, verses 24 and verse 25. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive. If possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. What's the big part of these days we're living in? Deception. And haven't we seen that over the years? I mean, over the last several years, there has been so much deception. Do you even know what to believe anymore when the world is speaking? It's hard to believe anything. Now, we understand the cults add to the word of God. They take away with their own ideas. The Quran written by Muhammad, Joseph Smith, and Book of Mormon, Sun Moon, and his divine principle. And you go on and on. I'm not as concerned about them as I am concerned about those that call themselves Christians. And they've brought this false teaching into the church. In 2022, in a survey, a third of senior pastors in the United States believe one can earn a place in heaven by being a good person. Really? A third of senior pastors. So what are they teaching their people? Try harder, be better, be good. If you're not, God's making a list, man. He's checking it twice. Really, that's your God, Santa Claus? Sorry. 37% of Christian pastors have a biblical worldview. So only 37% have a biblical worldview. They look at the world through the lens of the Bible. What are these other ones doing? They're looking at it, this world through the lens of secular reasoning. And it's a big deal because, again, they're teaching their congregations these things, these lies. And we see the ramifications of it. Almost 3 out of 4, 73%, agree with the claim that Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. 73% believe Jesus is a created being. How can that be when Jesus said in Revelation 1:11, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. He's not a created being. He's Almighty God. And if you've been with us through the Gospel of John when we did our in-depth study that took us 23 years. No, it didn't take us that long. It took us 2 years to go through. You know Jesus is Almighty God. Because that's the whole point of John's gospel, is to show you who Jesus is. And repeatedly, over and over and over in his ministry, he said that he was God. And that's what drove the Jewish religious leaders crazy. More than half, 58%, believe that God accepts the worship of all religions, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, all the same. Are they really? We're supposed to worship God in spirit and truth. In fact, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So he doesn't accept that other worship. More than 55% believe that the Holy Spirit is a force, but is not a personal being. I don't even understand that. And we talked about that before in the Gospel of John, but I don't get that. So when we say, may the force be with you, are you talking about the Holy Spirit or what? I don't know. In Acts chapter 5, verse 3, we see the Holy Spirit's not some kind of force. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? How do you lie to a force? You can't. The Holy Spirit's a person, the Almighty God, the third person of the Holy Trinity. More than half, 55% agreed that everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. And along the same lines, we see that more than half, 53%, disagree with the claim that even the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation. You see, there's the problem. We don't understand the nature of sin. We don't understand a holy God. All have sinned, Paul said, and fall short of the glory of God. All, in Romans 3:23. God demands perfection. That means we've all missed the mark. It doesn't matter if we missed the mark by a mile or an inch, right? I've used the illustration before, the Grand Canyon, from rim to rim, north rim to south rim, 10 miles. So if a person was going to jump it, he jumps, he can maybe go 5 feet out, right? What's going to happen? He's going to fall and crash and die. The next guy is a little better, a little stronger. He runs, jumps, maybe he can get 15, 20 feet out. Wow, he did better. But what's happening to him? He's still going to crash and burn. Okay, again, fictitious story, but imagine super athlete, right? He runs and jumps, and he makes it within a foot of the other rim. A foot! What happens to him? Oh, he crashes and burns and dies. Did it matter if he was 9.9 miles away or he was just 1 foot away? It didn't matter because the same fate happened. All our sins have separated us from God. This is how serious these teachings are. Because what the leaders within the churches, what they've been taught in the schools, these leaders now are teaching within their churches. And now this is the result of that. This is what their congregations are believing. 44% say that Jesus was a great teacher, but he wasn't God. They're not saved. Now, I know that's kind of a harsh statement by me. I didn't say it, Jesus did. John 8:24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Now most of your Bibles have he in parentheses or italics. He was added for clarification. No. Jesus said, if you do not believe I am, the voice from the burning bush, Almighty God, you will die in your sins. Do you see how serious this is? These men have crept into these churches and they're bringing doctrines into the churches and now their congregations aren't getting saved, but they believe that they are. Isn't that a great deception? I'm comfortable with dying, but they don't even know the one who came to save them. Wow, this is the result. And again, some of the things we can't compromise on, the inerrancy of the scripture. Maybe you've heard people say, oh, the Bible's just full of errors. Have they ever told you what the errors are? I haven't. I know people, you know, they have questions and that's fine. I'm free to answer them. But most of the time when people say the Bible is full of errors, they have no idea what they're talking about. So explain it to me. I don't think they'll give you an answer. Greg Allison is correct when he says the church from the outset was united in its belief that the Word of God is true and contains no error. In the original writings, absolutely. It wasn't until the 1830s that we see a new word arise to help to define this doctrine, and that word was inerrancy. Wayne Grudem gives this definition. The inerrancy of Scripture means that the Scripture in the original manuscripts does not affirm anything that is contrary to fact. Another one, God's authoritative word is wholly true and trustworthy in everything it claims about what was, what is, and what will be. You know, that gives me great confidence because when I look at this world and I see all that's happening, and then I look at God's word and I see what he's told us about the days we're living in, Like, oh man, Lord, you nailed it. There's my hope. I already know what's going to take place. And I know what my mission is, to bring the truth to a lost and dying world. Others say, you know, there was no literal Adam and Eve. You know, we evolved over millions of years. Why is that even important? Because if there's no Adam and Eve, there's no original sin. If there's no original sin, then why do we need a Savior to die for our sins? And if we don't need a Savior to die for our sins, then we don't need Jesus. You see, we just discredit the whole Bible. You see, we like attacking what's manifested in a life of someone who is not saved. We attack homosexuality, this lifestyle, that lifestyle. But that's not the foundation. They attack our foundation. What's the foundation? The book of Genesis. Genesis 1 through chapter 11. That's our foundation. That's the basis for everything. And so they attack the foundation, and you destroy the book of Genesis. How do we trust anything else? Now they're just allegorical stories. They're nice things to make us feel good, but they're not real. There was a literal Adam and Eve. Not because I say so, because Jesus said so. In the beginning, God created them male and female. And I think God knows there is male and there is female. It's not really difficult. The sinful nature of humanity. We're all pretty good. I'm a pretty good person. You're a pretty good person. Well, pretty good. It's not perfect. Yeah, that's the problem. We have the sin of Adam passed down to us. Plus, we have our own sin. Paul said in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, through Adam, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. We have that sin nature. Our spirit is dead. That's what being born again is all about, is that our spirit is made alive again. We're no longer controlled by the fleshly desires, but we're controlled by the Spirit of God. And yes, the flesh wars with the spirit against the flesh. But now we have the power through the empowering of the Holy Spirit to live holy lives. We don't try to do it on our own, or we can't do it on our own. We talked about the deity of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's pretty simple. He's Almighty God, who became flesh to die on the cross of Calvary, to pay in full the penalty for our sins. And they attack so many other things. You know, the virgin birth of Christ, the sinless life of Christ, substitutionary atonement's a big one. A literal bodily resurrection, they deny that. And a literal second coming, an eternal literal heaven and hell. You know, that's our hope, right? Our blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now they want to take that hope away. What are they going to replace it with? The government will help you with everything. Don't worry, just listen to me. No, I don't want the government to help me. They have a hard enough time delivering my mail, let alone delivering me out of this mess that I'm in. I'm going to hold on to God. He's my hope. He's coming back. And if he doesn't come back before I die, guess where I'm at? I'm with them. And so I don't lose on anything. And in this world, we will suffer persecution. That's just the reality. But man, what's awaiting us, guys? I think we're going to just be, you know, kind of like the V8 commercial. I don't know if you remember it, where the guy goes, oh, should have had a V8. I should have read the Word of God more, man. Heaven is unbelievable. We won't even think about all we endured in this life in heaven because we're going to be with our Savior. So we got to hold on to these foundational truths. We can't ignore them. We can't compromise them. And that's what we're contending for. But again, a lot of Christians don't want to contend for the faith, but just cruise along until it's time to go home. You know, the letter I wrote to the Herald Times reporter, the opinion section about churches that were supporting the transgender homosexual lifestyle. I don't think I had one pastor write a letter saying thank you. I had a lot of other people say it, which, hey, I was excited about that. But not one pastor. And I think a lot of pastors don't want to get involved. Why? Because it rocks the boat. It makes people uncomfortable. Because there's people, and they may be big tithers within their church that support this. And we don't want to offend them. So we're just going to ignore it. By ignoring it, aren't you agreeing with it? Yeah. You know, it's a dangerous world, but I'll tell you, we know how to navigate through it because we have the Word of God. Years ago, many years ago. There was this railroad wreck and took a lot of lives in the eastern part of the state. And it was loaded with young people from school. And it stalled on a track that was known as a hot box. And the Limited, another train, was coming, and a flagman was sent back to warn the engineer to avert a rear-end collision. And everyone on the train thought everything was well, and they were laughing and talking, and the train hands were working frantically to fix the problem. And suddenly the whistle of the Limited was heard, and the train came down the tracks and crashed into the local, obviously killing a lot of people. And the engineer of the Limited saved his own life by jumping off, and some days afterwards was brought into court, and he needed to make a statement about his part in this calamity. And there's this discrepancy in his testimony. He was asked, "Did you not see the flagman warning you to stop?" He said, "I saw him, but he waved a yellow flag. I took it for granted all was well, and so we went on, though slowing down some." The flagman was called. "What flag did you wave?" "A red flag, but he went by me like a shot." "Are you sure it was red?" "Absolutely." And both of these guys insisted that they were telling the truth. Neither was colorblind, so you couldn't blame that. Well, finally, the man was asked to produce the flag for the evidence. And there was some delay, but he was able to do so. And it had been a red flag, but it was exposed to the weather so long that all the red was bleached out, and it was all but a dirty yellow now. The lives that were eternally wrecked by the yellow gospel of the day, right? The bloodless theories of unregenerate men that send their hearers to their doom instead of stopping them on the downward road. This is why it's so important, guys. If we give a different gospel to people, you haven't helped them, you've hurt them. You made them comfortable about going to hell. And that's why these foundational truths are so important for us to know and to contend for, because people are trying to negate them. This has happened several years back now, and this was in Pew Forum on Religion. And I'll read it, and then I'll tell you who said it. I'm not trying to offend anyone again, but I want you just to understand the seriousness of this. "Who's the man of peace in any village? Or it might be a woman of peace who has the most respect. They're open and they're influential. They don't have to be a Christian. In fact, they could be a Muslim, but they're open and they're influential, and you work with them to attack the five giants, and that's going to bring the Second Reformation." Here's the key. They don't have to be Christian. It's okay. It doesn't really matter. They're just influential people. And we got to attack these five giants. No, there's only one giant. It's called sin. And that's only dealt with by Jesus coming to saving faith. So this is a different gospel. Who said that? Again, sorry. I don't, again, mean to offend anyone. I'm just saying it like it is. It was Rick Warren. I think he's retired now. But he has a huge following. And how dangerous those words are. You don't have to be a Christian, because that's not important. Of course it's important. You're not a Christ follower. You don't have to be a Christ follower. You could be Allah follower. Really? That's the danger, guys. That's what we're contending for. This is the faith we cannot water down or compromise. Because like that red flag that had turned yellow over the years, we can't allow our faith to get watered down, so we're bringing a deadly gospel to people instead of a life-giving gospel through Jesus Christ. Warren Wiersbe said, "The church is always one generation short of extinction. If our generation fails to guard the truth and entrust it to our children, then what will be the end? When you think of the saints and martyrs who suffered and died so we might have God's truth, it makes you want to take your place in God's army and be faithful unto death. What does it mean to contend for the faith? The Greek word is an athletic term that gives us our English word, agonize. It's a picture of a devoted athlete competing in the Greek games and stretching his nerves and muscles to do the very best to win. You never fight the Lord's battles from a rocking chair or a soft bed. Both the soldier and the athlete must concentrate on doing their best and giving their all. There must also be teamwork, believers working together to attack and defeat the enemy. Sometimes you hear well-meaning people say, 'Well, it's fine to contend for the faith, but don't be so contentious. While it's true that some of God's soldiers have been the cause of quarrels and divisions, it's also true that some of them have paid a great price to defend the faith. As Christian soldiers, we must not fight each other or go around looking for trouble. But when the banner of Christ is in danger of being taken by the enemy, we cannot sit idly by, nor can we ever hope to win the victory by wearing kid gloves. Charles Spurgeon once said, "The new views are not the old truth in a better dress, but deadly errors with which we can have no fellowship." False doctrine is a deadly poison that must be identified, labeled, and avoided, Spurgeon also said. I cannot endure false doctrine, however neatly it may be put before me. Would you have me eat poisoned meat because the dish is of the choicest ware? We must always speak the truth in love, and the weapons we use must be spiritual. At the same time, we must dare to take our stand for the faith, even if our stand offends some and upsets others. We're not fighting personal enemies, but the enemies of the Lord. It's the honor and glory of Jesus Christ that's at stake. Fight the good fight of faith. Absolutely. You know, we're living in a time where tolerance and false doctrine is embraced, and when you contend for the faith, they look down upon you. Church is trying to be so modern that they left Jesus outside, not going to get in. We see the results of the ramifications of this false teaching. The same percentage of U.S. born again Christians are divorced as the overall U.S. population. No difference. The rate of unmarried cohabitation is only slightly less among born again Christians than in a society as a whole. So what impact do we have? What are we not teaching? Are we teaching the whole counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation? It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like people are picking and choosing what they want to teach upon so they don't offend anyone. Got to be careful. It's definitely a battle that we're facing. Like I have said, in the Garden of Eden, the devil said to Eve, "Has God indeed said?" Those are just scary words to me because it was a challenge to Eve and it's a challenge to everyone today. That Satan makes, has God indeed said that? And I can say with 100% accuracy, God has said, and look at his word, because it's truth. Remember what I said. The church, or what really Charles Spurgeon said, the church does not determine what the Bible teaches. It's the Bible that determines what the church must teach. We have to contend for this faith. Sunday school teachers, home group leaders, pastors, wherever we're at, we have to contend for this faith and bring that gospel message to a lost and dying world. I'll close with this, that what Jude said, and this is from the Amplified Bible here in verses 3 and 4. "Beloved, my whole concern was to write to you in regard to our common salvation, but I found it necessary and was impelled to write you and urgently appeal to and exhort you to contend for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints, the faith which is that sum of Christian belief which was delivered verbally to the holy people of God." We have to contend for this faith that's been entrusted to us, guys. We're soldiers in the Lord's army. Vacation Bible School, I know I said I was closing with that. I am. Don't worry. Vacation Bible School, you know what it is? It's the armor of God. I think it's so interesting how the Holy Spirit is working. You know, Answers in Genesis, they had this together a year ago, okay? They were working on this. This was what they told us last year was going to be this year's study. And how appropriate for the days we're living in to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The year before that, last year when we did our study for the kids, the VBS, the sanctity of life. And what happened? Roe versus Wade decision in the Supreme Court. Isn't it interesting how the Holy Spirit is working? God is still active, guys. Don't give up. Contend for that faith. Guard what has been committed to you, Paul told Timothy. Avoid profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you, amen. Yes, guard those things. Yeah, there's people out there that are going to promote false doctrine, garbage. Show them they're wrong by the word of God in love. But don't let them into your churches to bring forth these messages. Contend for the faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. And Lord, it's not an easy one. It's not one of those kind of uplifting messages, I guess. But it's a call for us to be prepared for battle. It's a war cry. And we need to contend for the faith that's been entrusted to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust your word and trust your spirit to guide us in all these truths, that we can stand strong against these attacks by the devil. And Lord, bring glory and honor to you as we proclaim the truth, the glorious gospel message to a lost and dying world. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.